Father, bless these words to our hearts, anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. And Father, give us a sweet portion from you, in Jesus' name. In 2 Corinthians 13, we have one of the most difficult challenges given to a believer. And a believer who can actually accept this challenge is truly a believer who is walking in humility and in light. This is not something a person who is not humble can do. And this is not something that I can do if I'm walking in the flesh. Let's start in verse 4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. See, a lot of people are so afraid of being weak. But Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Why? Because God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. The believer is frequently told, be strong. And God says, be weak. Why? Because the believer is thinking like the world. I have to be able to do it. I have to produce it. I have to make it look good. I have to make it work. And God says, no, you can't do beans. Let me do it. You be weak and I'll be strong for you. My strength is made perfect in his weakness. You see, I have the strength of God's life when I am weak. Why? Because when I decrease, he can increase. But if I increase, then he will decrease. And this is what John was talking about. John wasn't talking about his own death. He was saying, I must decrease so that in my life he can increase. So that I can call everything but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of him. See, I'm not afraid of my own weakness because I know that in my weakness I will receive his strength. Now, in verse 5, and this is the hardest thing for believers to do in humility and in the Spirit. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. A lot of people examine themselves through introspection. They'll hear a convicting message, something will take place, and they'll get introspective. And they say, is this me and how can I make it better? Well, I got news for you. You can't. So don't try. So what, do I just stay in it? No. You receive. If I have a weakness in my life, I don't work my way out of that weakness. I receive from God the provision that will elevate me out of my weakness. You see, humble yourself and then you will be exalted. The proud person says, okay, this isn't quite right in my life, so I'm going to change it. Forgetting that, oh, hello, here we are back again. Sick head, faint heart, no good thing in me. Go ahead, change things. That's where frustration comes from. No. When I examine myself and I see I'm lacking, I don't get condemned and I don't get striving. I get receiving. I start to receive more and I start to receive more. Maybe I see that I have a particular, let's say I worry a lot. If I worry a lot, then I need to receive messages about God's faithfulness and His mercy. If I am afraid, then I need to receive messages about His love. If I am anxious, then I need to receive messages about His faithfulness again. Whatever it is, I receive. And when I receive, then I can enter into the second part of this portion, whether ye be in the faith. See, faith comes by receiving the Word of God through the ministry of an anointed, Spirit-filled pastor-teacher. Examine yourself to see if you are in the most holy faith. go to God and be honest. And say, God, I need to receive something here. And when I receive that portion from God, then I can walk with Him. I don't try to pretend and I don't try to work it up. I just receive. So examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Now, the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. That word there, study, does not mean what people think it means. That word there, study, means to be diligent. Is the word, the Greek word, apodazon. It's an active imperative. Present tense. And that means that continually you produce the action of the verb. And it is an imperative, so that means we are commanded in our volition to do this. Study. The same is true of that word examine in 2 Corinthians 13. Examine yourself, present tense, imperative mood, active voice. Present tense, present continuous action, imperative mood, a command to the volition, active voice. The subject produces the action of the verb. I study and I examine. I am diligent. And I keep being diligent to present myself approved unto God. Well, how am I going to be approved unto God? By walking in faith. How am I going to walk in faith? By receiving from God. So what it's really saying is be diligent to continually be receiving from God. Be diligent to be continually receiving from God. And that is the way that I will not be ashamed when it comes time for the evaluation of the believer at the judgment seat of Christ. But Sean, I think kind of it's interesting the way that the Word of God follows this. But Sean, turn your back on profane, which means common or unhallowed, and vain babblings, conversation that is empty and has no divine purpose. For they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. See, this is where it starts often, is I listen to the wrong things. I don't listen to the Word of God. I listen to the wrong things. I listen to the television. I listen to gossip. I listen to the wrong things. But the Word of God says, be diligent to receive from God. Now in Romans 16:20, the Word of God says, and the God of all peace, this is where we're going with this, and the God of all peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And the word shortly means in quickness. In other words, whatever it is, the God of all peace will bruise Satan under your feet very quickly. When the serpent beguiled Eve, God said, you're going to go onto your belly and you're going to eat the dust. What does that mean? Well, the serpent had iniquity in him, and iniquity is emotional rebellion, and what it said is you're going to live in these emotions and you are going to be ruled by them. The belly speaks of emotions. It's a mononym. Because the Hebrew word did not have words for emotions. God used mononyms, words like kidneys or reins or belly. And so God said, you will live in these emotions, and these emotions is what is going to feed you. The believer who is challenged will frequently feed in his emotions. And that believer will not experience victory from God because he is feeding from his emotions. Something comes against him and he feeds on his fear. somebody says something and fear comes in. And the believer is feeding in his emotions. And where that takes place, the believer cannot experience a victory. So what does that believer do? So he feeds on the fear. He keeps that thing which is making him scared in the forefront of his mind, and he tries to counsel himself with the Word of God, but it doesn't really work for him. Because even though his mind is counseling, his heart is not receiving. See, when I receive from the Word of God, I receive into one of the three parts of the mind. I receive into the unconscious mind. When the enemy attacks, he attacks the unconscious mind. He does not attack the volitional mind, the conscious mind. He attacks in the part that is apart from volition. How does he do that if I don't guard my heart? That we believers, something comes against us and we don't really guard our hearts. We try to think with our heads rather than receiving in our hearts from God. And when that takes place, fear is produced in our hearts because our hearts are part of our unconscious mind, and that unconscious mind would then dictate to the subconscious mind, and the subconscious mind is that part of the believer that is in fact his initiating motive, albeit he may not understand where it's coming from. So I have fear, I know the Word, I know the words in my mind, I have fear, but the words don't deliver me. And though my conscious mind is initiating to my subconscious mind, the words aren't delivering me. So what do I need to do? I need to start making a grace adjustment. See, how do I experience Satan being under my feet? I make a grace adjustment. And when I make a grace adjustment, then I adjust that which becomes my focus, that which becomes my frame of reference, and I can only do it through faith. You see, if I don't do it through faith, if I simply impart words to my own heart from my mind that I don't actually believe, then they'll have no power. But when I operate in faith and I start trusting God, then that which has been imparted to me from God becomes powerful in my heart. And so what happens? My mind will counsel me, but I respond to it in faith. And then the content of my unconscious mind will respond to that which my mind counsels, the conscious mind, and it will transform the subconscious mind, whereby that fear or that worry or that concern or wherever it is that I can't even identify where it's coming from, it will be soothed. You see, it's not really a difficult process. I simply make a grace adjustment. The Word of God, though, has to be received in faith. You see, having heard the Word, it didn't profit them because they didn't mix faith with what they heard. So I mix the Word of God with faith and I simply believe. Well, how do I get myself to the point of believing, keep receiving? And the Word of God will produce it in me. And if I'm not experiencing a faith victory yet, then I simply keep believing and keep receiving. And the place where my faith starts is faith in the fact that God's Word is God's mind, and God's mind can transform me. And so I make a grace adjustment. And no longer am I fearful, no longer am I worried, I've adjusted unto grace. Now, in Zechariah 4:7, the Word of God says, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain." It's a great mountain, but the Word of God says it's going to become a plain. So I walk and I see this great mountain behind me, and I simply walk forward in faith and I look behind me and there's nothing there. I saw that the mountain was just an illusion. See, in Isaiah 40, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles." You see, the wonderful thing about having eagle's wings is I can soar over any mountain, over any valley, and it's exactly the same thing. It comes from waiting upon God, trusting Him, not being anxious, making a grace adjustment, and trusting God. The Word of God continues in Zechariah 4:7. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, saying, grace, grace unto it. What is the mountain? You shout, grace, grace unto it. That is the grace adjustment. See, the mountain comes in front of me, whatever it is. Maybe it's a situation at work or at school or with other people or in my family or whatever it happens to me. There's a mountain in front of me and I say grace to the mountain, knowing that God's grace is going to take me over that mountain as though the mountain wasn't even there. And there may be a storm raging all about me, but I can just as easily be sleeping in the bottom of the boat as being on the deck worrying about the storm. The results are going to be the same. You see, the results were such that the disbelief of the disciples didn't change what God was going to do. You see, Jesus rested in faith. The disciples were worried, but the outcome was the same. The storm was quenched. They got to the other side, just like there had never been a storm. I can make a grace adjustment, but even if I don't, God will be faithful, because if I am not faithful, He will abide faithful in Hebrews. He will abide faithful. So it doesn't matter that I wasn't faithful and I didn't make my grace adjustment. The only thing that I lost by not making that grace adjustment was I lost some experience time with God. But God was still faithful, so I'm much better off making a grace adjustment where I say, grace to the mountain, God is going to be it. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Faithful is He that called you, then that He will also do it. Don't worry. God takes care of it. But I failed. I'm the one who caused it. God takes care of it. I make a grace adjustment. You see, which one of my problems aren't my failure? And even if it is something that comes against me, if I'm worrying, that is my failure. So which one of those problems is not my failure? Let's face it, folks, it's all my failure. Whether I did it or not, my response, if I don't respond to a grace adjustment, it's my failure. What's going to happen? God's going to abide faithful. Maybe you got illness in your family. God will abide faithful. You make a grace adjustment. You recognize that God knows. You recognize that God loves you. You recognize that God sees what's going on. You recognize that God is for you and not against you. You recognize that the end of a thing is better than the beginning of thereof. And you make a grace adjustment. And then you experience the victory. Somebody maybe goes home to be with the Lord. What do? You make a grace adjustment. Say, you know that God will never leave you and He will not forsake you. You may be lonely, but God will not leave you and He will not forsake you. You have a Father who loves you. You make a grace adjustment. The warfare, the spiritual warfare comes against you and people start railing against you and people start talking and they start lying about you and they start saying things that are not true and they maybe they even say things that are true, but usually they seem to say things that are not. And it's spiritual warfare. What do? You make a grace adjustment. You recognize that all things are for your sake, all things are from God, and I love that word all, because in the Greek the word all means all. You make a grace adjustment. And you mix faith with what you hear, you mix faith with the Word of God, and you simply believe God. Why can you believe God? Because He's God. God is no man that He should lie. You make a grace adjustment. I always live by grace adjustments. I always walk by grace adjustments. I am a human being. I cannot walk apart from grace adjustments. I will not be perfect. I will spend my life being conformed to the image of Christ. I will continue to make grace adjustments. Now when those grace adjustments come, I start to experience my victory. But apart from those grace adjustments, I won't experience it, but I'll still have it. In Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee." The Lord rebuke thee. See, I have an accuser. I have an enemy. And he's going to accuse. How does the enemy accuse me? Oh, what kind of a Christian are you? See what you did? What kind of a Christian are you? See, he brought in the temptation, and then when I failed, he brings in the accusation. He trips me up, and then he blames me. What kind of a Christian are you? Or maybe another believer will say, "Hey, what kind of a Christian are you?" Oh, thank you, Satan. Really wanted to know what the atmosphere was thinking today. As though I couldn't figure that out on my own. But you know what? God's words do not accuse me. God will not accuse. God will restore me. If I fail, I fall into the everlasting arms that are beneath me. In Romans 14:4, I can't be judged because I'm going to stand. And even if I fail, even if I'm the worst believer in the world, even if there's no good thing in me and there is not, even if I do everything wrong, God is going to make me stand. I make a grace adjustment. Something happens and I adjust. And I make grace my focus. I don't make that thing my focus. I make grace my focus. I don't start to fear. Why can't I? Why don't I fear? Because no one who fears is perfected in love. Because perfect love casts out fear. So I fear, so what do? I grace adjust to perfect love. And when I make a grace adjustment, I start experiencing the love of God. I don't focus on the problem. I focus on the Savior. I don't even try to focus on the solution. I focus on the Savior. And He brings the solution, and I don't worry about it. Does that mean I'm irresponsible? No, it means I'm led. It means I don't think with the natural mind. I think it means that I think with the mind of Christ. I'm simply led by God. And God takes care of me. God takes you by the hand and He leads you through it. And the mountain becomes a plain. Because I've made a grace adjustment. Satan, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, is going to hinder. And he's going to often hinder me in my own emotions. Because my emotions are that part which is the belly on the dust. My emotions will respond to my flesh. My emotions will respond to my circumstances. And Satan will operate through my emotions. So my emotions do not respond to God. When that happens, I need to make that grace adjustment. By the way, never think with your emotions. You're not made to think. Do not make decisions based on your emotions. You're being a sucker for the atmosphere. Always base your decisions on the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said, "Man shall live by bread alone, not live by bread alone, but by every word of God," that word there was not logos, the general word, but rhema, the specific word imparted from the Holy Spirit to the heart of a man for his situation. It's a specific word, specific leading, specific edification, a specific grace adjustment. I live by grace adjustments. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Word of God says, starting in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of darkness of this world, See, who is it that I'm wrestling against? I'm not wrestling against me, and I'm not wrestling against you. I'm wrestling against principalities and powers. Who do you think brings those thoughts? Who do you think brings those anxieties? Who do you think brings those fears, those worries, those feelings of failure and inadequacy? Who do you think brings those things? Principalities and powers. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So what do? I make a grace adjustment. What's the solution? The grace adjustment is the solution. I put on the whole armor of God. How do I do it? Through the Word of God. The shield of faith, the shield of the Word of God producing faith in me. The breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate of God's Word producing God's righteousness in my mind, in my heart, so that God's mind and God's thinking takes over my heart, so that my experience becomes that experience which is God's life. And I have His righteousness, not only in a positional sense where I am cleansed by the love, blood before Him, but in a very practical, real, everyday sense. I have His righteousness without even working it up. Because His life is in me. I take on the whole armor, the helmet of salvation. That's not salvation of my soul, it's the deliverance of my mind through the Word of God, where His mind is my mind. That word salvation doesn't just mean salvation from hell. It means practical deliverance. And I don't mean something weird where people slap each other upside the head or something like that. No, I mean real, honest-to-goodness deliverance. Where I'm transformed in my thinking. Where I don't worry because the thoughts of worry don't enter into my mind. It comes through the Word of God. The loins gird about with truth. The strength and identity of a person, of a believer, established in the truth of God. The breastplate of God's righteousness being God's righteousness real in me. The feet shod with the gospel, I walk in the finished work of Christ. I don't get condemned. There's the finished work. It's been done. I don't get condemned, I get delivered. And it comes through the Word of God. I have a shield. And that shield is a shield made for two. It's a picture of the Roman armor there in Ephesians chapter 6. They carried a shield made for two. So that if my brother fails, if my brother is weak, if my brother is a wounded soldier, I cover him with my own faith. And what does that do? That quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. I go and I edify and I build and I love. And in that, I strengthen myself and I strengthen my brother. And I simply love him. And then he can walk also. And then I have a sword. The armor is not just defensive, it's offensive. And it's a two-edged sword. A sword of soothing and healing and a sword of conviction. I am soothed by the Word, where it is sweet in my mouth. But I can also be convicted by that same Word, where it is difficult, bitter in my emotions. Don't run, by the way, from the conviction of the Word. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Don't run from the conviction of the Word. It is there to make you perfected. See, I need to live in grace adjustments. If I can adjust to grace in my life, then I will have the life of God in my experience. But if I do not make a grace adjustment, then albeit God will still be faithful, my experience will be difficult. I may fear the circumstance, but the outcome will be the same. God will be faithful. I may fear the warfare, but God, the outcome will be same. God will be faithful. I may fear the illness, but the outcome will be the same and God will be faithful. I may fear what people say against me, but the outcome will be the same. God will be faithful. I'm far better off making a grace adjustment whereby I trust the faithfulness of God. And then, like Daniel going into the fire, he's being led and he's in the ropes and he looks at the king and he said, "My God is more than able, O king. King, you're not much of anything, but my God is more than able. And I go into the fire with my two friends, but there's four men there. And the bonds are broken. The only thing that... You know what the fire did for Daniel? It burned the ropes. All it did is take away the bondage. And then I go into the lion's den because I made a grace adjustment. And then I may not be thrilled about being in the lion's den. I don't worry about it either. I make a grace adjustment. I just go over to the side and lay down and fall asleep. There may be a storm raging and people may be doing stuff and things may be happening and circumstances may be bad. But I can go into the bottom of the boat and I can fall asleep because I know that that boat's going to the other side. Why? Because I made a grace adjustment. I knew that Christ is in that boat. Show me something. Show me a situation where God is not in the boat. If He is in me, and He is, when's He not in my circumstance? If I am in Christ, when is something going to reach me that hasn't reached Him first? Do you think God allowed it? Yes, He did. Why? For my benefit. Do I need to fear it? No. He's there. He'll take care of it. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But, Lord, I caused it. I messed up. Yeah, no kidding. I was there. Don't worry. God restores those things that the cankerworm has eaten away. What's your mistake? Did God know it was coming? I don't know. Maybe not this one. I think He did. My Bible says He knows all things. And from the beginning, He knew all things. He planned my life from the beginning. Perhaps He knew those all things and formed a plan around them. Perhaps He knew that I would fail, and God forbid that I do, but perhaps He knew that I did would. See, why did Mary Magdalene love much? Not that this is the way that we want to get to that point, but why did it happen? Because she sinned much. She was forgiven much. And therefore she had a capacity because of that forgiveness to love much. You think God had a plan for her even though at one point she was a wicked sinner plagued with summoned demons? The woman caught in adultery, what happened to her? They brought her to Christ and Christ said, "Oh, let's throw those rocks." No. God convicted the self-righteous accusers, forgave the woman because she was, albeit backslidden, she was a Christian because she called Him Lord. Forgave the woman and said to her, "I don't condemn you." See, when she realized that she wasn't being condemned, that's where she had the capacity to sin no more. Because the law was removed that would have killed her. And the capacity was brought in through the finished work that gave her the ability to sin no more. Grace adjustments. Grace adjustments will cause me to experience the life of God in a moment by moment basis. Because it's mine. Just will I experience it? Well, I can. Through grace adjustments. Amen.